There's only one place in this world that I've been to where I felt like I was a part of a painting, and that was the Dome in Florence. It's a perfect example of life being intertwined with art, combined into one whole. Whatever perspective, no matter how far or how close you are from the Dome in Florence, you feel like you're part of a painting. It's just incredible. As we celebrate the new year, the new 2021 year ahead tomorrow in every corner of this world, I want to suggest to everyone to think about how we can bring a renaissance of new ideas in 2021. And that's why I'd like to revisit the original Renaissance from 4 centuries ago in order to take some of those ideas and apply them into our world today or tomorrow. And so, Renaissance is my favorite period in our history. Whether it is the Sistine Chapel, Dome in Florence, or the Statue of David, the writings from some of the most well-known humanists, I think that there was something more than just talent, that sheer talent that was concentrated in that period of time, that led to such unsurpassed legacy that has lived on for generations after generations. And so I think it all began with the well-known upper-class family of the de' Medici, Cosimo de' Medici, who had built a large private library and had revived many books from antiquity and philosophy that could inspire many generations ahead. But it was his grandson, Lorenzo de' Medici, who took that baton from him, from his grandfather, by running a well-known bank, probably one of the most well-known banks of the time, the Medici Bank. And he knew not just how to invest money, but to spend money for the right causes. Because of all the books that he was exposed to, people that he surrounded himself with, such as a philosopher, Marsilio Ficino, and also Michelangelo. Lorenzo de' Medici allowed Michelangelo to live in his house for about 5 years. In fact, the three of them, the philosopher, the great artist and sculptor, and the banker, had dinner every day, every evening, for many, many years. And as a result, I think it should come to no surprise that here you have a financial mogul or tycoon who learned not to just be a patron of the arts, but to create the art in order to build a society, because he wanted to build a particular society, a particular community. Lorenzo de' Medici was influenced by an antique Roman philosopher, Sallust. Sallust, who had questioned and he had criticized the decadent period of Rome, antique Rome, during which there was public squalor and private opulence, in which the public became poor, they didn't have a lot of the resources that were available to the select few in the upper classes. That's why Lorenzo, when he commissioned or advertised particular art or writings or philosophy, he didn't just invest in the artists and the sculptors, but he told them, he asked them to promote a particular value. And these values were essentially truth, to seek truth, despite any theological background or religious background, question those truths. So be a little bit more scientific, practical. Beauty. Beauty. Create beauty. Wisdom. And also peace. Essentially, peace as well. They had a purpose. So it was a vision of the art or of the work, of the philosophy that he embraced. And he inspired and his artists to embrace not just the art or the work for art itself. Lorenzo de' Medici inspired the artists to create art that personified and that valued compassion, empathy, serenity. Here you had essentially a financial executive, a businessman, who invested a lot of money, a big proportion of his family's money and the bank's revenue into philosophy. Imagine if you had the finance industry today, or bankers, invest into philosophers. Philosophy is frowned upon. You look at philosophers as people who are coaches, let's say executives. And out of millions of coaches, there's probably maybe one or two that everybody knows, that everybody may be inspired by. But it's not something that's valued by today's society. Maybe we need to question that. Because the right philosophy during the Renaissance, based on what was sponsored, what was advertised, left us a lot of records. Many volumes of data, lessons on architecture, where a lot of the artists, they didn't just create this work or didn't study some of the old texts, didn't create art in order to teach it and to just have apprenticeships and to make money, but they taught it in order to apply whatever they learned to their life and to their community. So that was the difference, I think, that really differentiates the Renaissance from other periods. Because the texts remain today from a lot of these artists, particularly in architecture. You have large volumes of books written during the Renaissance that outline specifically all the different steps that somebody needs to follow in order to build a square in a city, to build a corner of a street corners, even benches, how they need to be positioned. For example, squares that they built during the Renaissance all had particular guidelines. They were not supposed to have buildings that were taller than 5 stories. They would all had a fountain in the middle of the square with a short enough distance between buildings on the opposite sides such that a woman, a mother, calling her son who was playing in the square on the other end of it could be heard by the child. So it had an intimate sense of community that they wanted to create. Therefore, when we think about innovation, all the innovative gadgets that we have today help us share and communicate information quickly, process information faster. But very few really teach us why we need to do what we need to do, to value society and our relationships more. Because that's not the intention of many of the technologies and devices that are out there. The innovation that we have allows us to share, learn about history that has already been made before us, but not to create our own history. And this is why, if you think about these three of the four, for example, truth, beauty, or wisdom, if you really think about all the innovative technologies and gadgets that we have today, how much more beauty have we created today? True beauty compared to the Renaissance in terms of cities, for example. How many cities in this world have the same amount of architecture, the complexity of architecture, similar to the Florentine Dome, which for 125 years was just there waiting for somebody to come in and finish? That Brunelleschi came in and he didn't even have a complete background as an architect, yet he was able to build this dome which had 8 bases within an imperfect circle and didn't even need a central piece of support, which was something that was unfathomable at the time. And to this day, I don't think that there are many cities like Florence, like Venice, Mantua, that have a similar kinds of architecture anywhere. We have created our own beauty, our own skyscrapers, but the goal that the Medici had, Lorenzo de' Medici had, was to create beauty, because when the public has more access to beauty, not just the private few, not just the upper class, then they are much more likely to create beauty. When they're more likely to see paintings that depict serenity or compassion or empathy and love rather than hatred and acts of evil, they're that much more likely to be empathetic. And that's what de' Medici thought about. And this is why we need to revisit very seriously the sensationalism that has been ruling our entertainment, our sources of entertainment we've been gravitating towards. I think that the Hollywood movies that focus on pandemics, these artificial pandemics, even before the real pandemic hit, or these sensational events that drew millions of people to the box office, they need to be replaced with the more boring but more stable environments and communities in which people thrive, in which people respect one another much more. And so stability needs to replace sensationalism, because we've learned over this pandemic, we've had a lot of sensationalism and sensational facts out there, facts or myths. And we realize just how costly and just how precious maintaining our stability, our stable community is. Our health, so difficult to do. And the Medici, I think, and the Renaissance is worth taking a look at in more detail, and not just the Medici, because the Medici was able to sponsor and to embrace and to nourish a lot of the talent that was concentrated in one short period of time. But he gave them a vision for what art should be for whom it should be for, art, philosophy, science. In fact, we cannot reproduce a lot of their work today in 2020, approaching 2021. De' Medici and the humanists, Erasmus, many humanists across the globe, in France, Michel de Montaigne, and it shares a lot of history lessons and stories from antique history to all the way to the Renaissance. These stories matter today, because they help shape our mind, our mindset, to understand what we need to value more. So for 2021, as the pandemic develops and hopefully concludes, we have to embrace our vulnerability, our human capital. We have to prioritize stability over sensationalism. Let sensationalism that we've been paying for, we've been attracted to, seeing, remain in our past. Community is stability. Let's revisit our sense of community and create more truth, more beauty, and more wisdom available for not just those who can afford it, not just the upper class, for example, but for everyone. Let's build new cities that are just as beautiful, just as innovative as they were during the Renaissance. Remember, it wasn't the talent. It wasn't just some kind of genius or irreplaceable talent that people had during the Renaissance, but it was the vision. It was the vision for what their work was intended for. Therefore, as we revisit the Renaissance with our own eyes, it's more important to actually revisit our own world with their eyes instead, with the eyes of those independent thinkers, those leaders, philosophers, artists, sculptors of the Renaissance, as we approach a new renaissance of ideas in 2021. I wish all of you a happy and healthy 2021, full of truth, beauty, wisdom, and peace.